Hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who is joining us here with Happy Hour with Dr. T. We gather here two nights a week, Tuesday and Thursday night, to talk about amazing books, overcomer stories, and to discuss verses from the Word of God, then pray together. On Tuesday night is guest night, where we invite special guests to share their wisdom and to lead us in prayer. Tonight, my special guest is the host of the Truth Seekers radio show, Angeline Marie, who you don't want to miss this talk and hear her talk about her new book. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant, you can take it when you're nursing, you can give it to little children, you can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water, because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out. The heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch within our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years.
Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off.
Well, welcome back, everyone. My guest tonight is Angeline Marie, who has worked in various behind-the-scenes roles in radio and television. She holds a Bachelor's of Science degree in mass communications. Angeline Marie is the host of the Truth Seekers radio show. As a conservative Christian, she believes people should think for themselves. She interviews guests that have done their research in areas of expertise, where she exposes what they have to say, whether she agrees with them or not. She disseminates their information to listeners, so the listener then can use their critical thinking skills to make up their own minds. She believes the time is short for free people to share their ideas in a free society, and I really agree with that. Angeline Marie, thank you so much for joining me here tonight at Happy Hour with Dr. T. It's a real pleasure to get to talk with you.
Thank you, Dr. Tenpenny. I'm so excited to be here. I've been following your work for years back in the early 2000s when you were on Power Hour.
And that's when I first heard it. Yeah. That does go back a long way.
Yeah, it does.
You know, Joyce Riley, God rest her soul, you know, she was a real powerhouse when she was doing all of those things. That goes back a long ways. Well, thank you for being a fan for so long. I appreciate that. So for those in my audience who don't really know who you are or haven't heard about your radio show, why don't you tell a few people where you're from and tell listeners a little bit about your background and who you are?
Yeah, I'll tell you how I got into what some call the truth movement. I was a conservative Christian and I was still, this is about year 2000. I was still relatively young at the time. I had a journalism degree, but I wasn't working in journalism because I had a rude awakening of how you had to carry this mainstream narrative. You couldn't really report truth. So anyway, I fell into a software job and I was testing software and I was there a couple months and I had wanted to quit. I was so bored. I just thought, I can't keep doing this. I was really bored. And I tried to quit. I went to the owner, I explained the situation. And he said to me, well, can you at least wait maybe a couple more weeks? We're going to have our first release. He was building medical e-records back then on the internet. And I said, sure, you know, I would stay and write out my commitment to him. And so I did that. What was really ironic about this time is because it was such a, all of us in the office worked on the internet and it was tedious work. So he would allow us to listen to internet radio. And I really hadn't listened a lot to internet radio back then, but I found Dr. Stan Monteith and his show Radio Liberty. That's when I found Joyce Riley Power Hour. But I got to tell you, I stumbled onto these people and the things I was hearing I couldn't believe that our government would pull such evil stunts on its own people. And so, needless to say, I ended up staying at that job for a year and a half. And I believe the Lord had me there to school me. I mean, how could you can get paid to learn while you're working. And so it was a great setup and I ended up staying. And then one thing led to another. And eventually I felt called around 2012 to start the True Seekers radio show. And I decided to do that because I felt like that would let me use my journalism skills. And so I would interview people that were experts in their field. But I would always try at the end to swing it back to the spiritual war we're in. And then as time went on, I started 3 digital radio channels that are conservative Christian talk and Bible teaching. And then eventually I started my book. I had wanted to write a book back in the early 2000s, but apparently the Lord didn't think I was ready for that yet. So in 2019, December, just before the pandemic, I had started writing. And the book even took a different turn because I thought I wanted to write about politics and religion because I'm constantly hearing how those are the two things you can't talk about. And I never understood that because to me, your spiritual foundation undergirds everything you believe, whether it's political, social. It has all the bearing on how you carry out your life, your behavior, the decisions you make. They're together. You can't say, well, you know, how you believe spiritually doesn't show up in how you believe politically. So anyway, I started to write the book, but then the Lord started moving me kind of away from that. And it was more about, okay, I want you to write about all the pillars of society, from the church to government, to education, to healthcare, to media. And then I put sort of a history on each of those. But then I brought it to today and why all those pillars are in complete chaos. And so this to summarize the book, it's pretty much we are fighting a spiritual war in the physical realm, and we're not going to be able to fight that war with physical means. So we have to be ready. And that's kind of how I wrapped the book up with the armor of God at the last chapter.
Wow, that's an incredible journey.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to write it from the time you really got, you know, serious about it until it was finished? How long did that take?
You know, in reality, it went to publishing about a year ago in 2023. Honestly, the book probably took 18 months, but there was time in there where I stalled maybe for a couple months and then I pick it back up. But I would say all in all, it probably took a good 18 months to write. And then, like I said, I would stall at times and then come back to it.
Well, you know, I've written several books and I've got one that I've just published, a second one that's going to be published in a couple of weeks, and a third one that'll probably be done in, generously saying, 3 months. We should get it out. I mean, I'm done with the writing, but now it's the edits and, you
right.
know, all that stuff.
Right.
And I think some of the best advice I ever got about writing was many, many years ago when I probably 2005, when I wrote the first book about the bird flu. At that point in time, I had a friend who taught journalism at a local university here. And I was really struggling with writing this book. And she said, well, you know, Sherry, books aren't written, dear reader, blah, 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 the end. You know, they're piecemealed and chopped up all over the place. And I thought that was such good advice that I've heeded all these years. Because I remember when I was in the middle of writing that book, because I was writing it while it was happening in real time, I got to the place where literally I was kind of lost and I didn't really know what I was talking about or what the intent was anymore. So I printed the whole thing out and I went to my office, which at the time was a pretty big room, and I laid all the pieces of paper out on the floor and then grouped them together to the way they should be. So it does take 18. I'm really amazed that it only took 18 months, because usually it takes much longer than that.
Yeah. And plus I, you know, was working, I was juggling a lot of things at the time. So I was working full time and, you know, so anyway, I got it done and I would like to now, I've got another idea for the next one. Hopefully if it's God's will to do that.
Well, you talked about that there are several pillars of society that that are involved in the writing of your book, mm-hmm. the book of the whole armor of God. What do you think are some of the most important pillars and the ones that are in the biggest chaos right now?
Well, when people ask me the question of what I think's probably the most important, I have to say the church. And I feel like the church and the pastors sort of took their foot off the gas. And this all goes back, and I talk about the history in the book, to the 1950s when Johnson hoodwinked the pastors into thinking they had to sign on to this 501c3 church. Because now he was doing that for different reasons than he told them. I believe they tried to sell and package it, you'll be a tax exempt entity. What they didn't really emphasize at the time was how they were going to muzzle, that we really wanted to muzzle the church. And I think that from the pastors holding back truth and not speaking on social issues as they should have truthfully, that kind of trickled down to the congregations. And really, I think that's kind of where that saying, you don't talk about politics and religion, comes from. So as the church and the pastors muzzled themselves, now you are basically on your way down the road to gutting God out of all the pillars of our society. And what do you expect to happen when you remove God and gut him out? That leaves an opening for the devil and for evil. And so that's why I believe where we are today with all the chaos, and it's all around the world right now. I mean, it's so chaotic. And so I have to start with that, probably started with the church. And then, of course, you can talk about all the other pillars as well. We've gotten rid of God, but I think the church has to take the accountability for this.
I've got a book sitting here. This is somebody that I interviewed a couple weeks ago, David Howard. He wrote a book called "The Silent Church is Watching America Die. God Will Not Hold Us Guiltless." And it's, I mean, he was a politician for 13 or 14 years. He was a state rep and then a senator for the state of Montana. And then at the same time, he was a pastor. And, then when he got out, he was doing all these other things. So he kind of saw it from the inside out. I mean, from what was happening inside of politics. And he kind of pulls no punches about the church and the condition that we are. I'm assuming you sort of do the same thing.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I think that's, outside of chapter 10, which is putting on the armor, I think that's the most important. And I just believe that I believe a lot of Christians are even clueless about the 501c3 church, and a lot of pastors even are clueless about it. But we're going to be held accountable. The reason why the 501c3 church, in my mind, is not a good thing is you are taking the lordship of Jesus Christ, who should be over your church. You're signing a contract with the government and you're saying, okay, government, now you're the head of my church. No longer can you serve two masters, right? That's why I think it's important.
Do you think, there's been a lot of talk recently, more than, but there's been a lot of talk for a long time, but more of the talk has been recently about churches surrendering that 501c3 status. Mm-hmm. What is your take on that? And do you see that forthcoming?
Yeah, I am hearing also more about that. And I think because people are getting out there and talking more about it, I'll be honest that the church I went to, the pastor didn't really even realize that what it was. And so I think, yes, a lot of pastors are hearing from church congregants that are saying, look, this is what I'm learning about this, and they're bringing it. And so you're right. I see, I'm glad, because the church needs to step up and do its job. And especially facing, as bad as things are today, it's only going to get worse, right? And so the church needs to step up and be ready. And so I think that's going to be part of it.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be ready. It's interesting. The title of your book is The Whole Armor of God. And I've had other people tell me that about Ephesians 6, they say, people kind of pick and choose the part of the armor that they put on.
Yeah.
And your book is laying it out clearly, the whole armor of God. Can you expound upon that a little bit?
Yeah, I think he starts in chapter 11, put on the whole armor of God to withstand the wiles of the devil. And I think if you think about, okay, what's he saying? That's the defense. And then in 12, it's because this is why we're doing it, people. It's because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the world and against, you know, darkness and spiritual wickedness. And so I think that is a warning. That is telling us we're not, it's not, although things are playing out in the physical, it's really a spiritual war that we're fighting. And so he reiterates in 13, so wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. And so I think that's important. You know, I heard a very interesting, because I knew I was going to be doing this interview, I wanted to kind of get some other pastor's thoughts on this. So I kind of watched a teaching on the armor of God, and he said something that was very important, that although I love these verses, I never really looked at it this way. He was going through all the pieces. He said, do you realize that all the pieces are for the defense? They're fighting the defense except one, and it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's the only offensive piece of equipment they have, is the sword, but that everything else was a defense. And, you know, when I was writing the book, I'm this really nerdy person when it comes to words. I always believe that words have significance. They didn't just come out of nowhere. And I kept asking the Lord, Lord, why, you know, I realized when I looked at the word sword, which is the sword of the Spirit, is the word of God. I was looking at the word sword and I said, well, it can't be coincidence that the word is in sword. And so I said, all right, Lord, come on, tell me, what does this really mean? And one day I got spiritual word. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I just feel like my spirit was telling me sword came from spiritual word. And so as I was writing the book, I was studying Paul McGuire, because he wrote a very good book about this sword of the Spirit. And he said that, think about it, it's not just that you're saying the words, but the word, when the Lord created the world, he spoke it into an existence. And so that was Paul McGuire's point, is he said, I think Christians don't understand the strength they really have, the power they have through the word of God. And so it hearkened me back to the Lord spoke things into existence, but then Paul brings it a little more to now, where he's telling us, you know, there's this scientific physics thing that happens, that when you speak, you're speaking these sounds into existence. And he was bringing it into really scientific, like the waves, and how that brings it into, you know, not only the physical, but he says it's also pushing it into the physical. And I had never really heard that before. And if you think about it, doctor, think about witches and warlocks. They're always speaking incantations and spells, because you know what? I think they really know that power that those things have and the evil that they can do. If they believe it, how come Christians don't believe they have through the power through the word of God?
That's and a really I think good point.
To be ready to be soldiers in this time coming, you know, we were talking about the church, but yes, I think also we need to realize, Christians in general, I'm talking, need to realize the power they have through the word of God, through the Holy Spirit.
I think that's really, really true. I mean, and you know, Jesus himself gave that great commission, go forth and tell people, make them become, you know, followers of me, tell them the stories, tell them the word. He didn't say go out and kind of write it down. He said, go out and tell
right.
them, you know.
Right.
So like from the very beginning that was happening. You know, another thing I had studied it's or heard somewhere along the line about the sword, all of the armor of God, is that the armor, when you put on all of the armor of God, it's on the front of you, you know, the breastplate,
yes.
The belt, the helmet, the shoes, and all that stuff. And that's because I think it's Isaiah 67, where God says, I have your back.
So, nice. You know, all that armor is on the front, you know, and then you've got that sword that's an offensive weapon because God's got your back. And that always meant a lot to me, you know, when we go plowing forward in our lives and take on all the things that are coming after us, it's good to know there's a backup plan.
For sure, for sure.
So tell us a little bit about your radio show.
In the radio show, I get people in healthcare. I get people in government. I've had people in education. I've had people that have been through terrible spiritual warfare. And so what I do is if I get an author on, I'll read their book. And then I liked when I have my interviews, I really wanted the person to know I put the time in and researched them and the topic. And so I'll do that. And then I'll have them on. And like I said earlier, I try to let them speak and tell their story and the reason that I've had them on. And then I always try to link it back to the spiritual. And my thing is, I feel like in the last couple of generations, we have not taught students to critically think. We've just said, okay, whatever you see in media, that's the truth, and you don't have to even think about it. And I think that's also a harm that has been done that has led to what's going on in the world. And so I always say, I want to teach critical thinking. I want you, don't take my word for it. In fact, I don't just watch, you know, conservative outlets. I go and I look to see what the liberals are talking about or people that I don't agree with, because I want to learn and I want to be able to think. I always say, sift through the garbage that you're fed daily in the media and then come out and look at it all and, you know, form your own opinions, but think about it. Don't just take people's word for it.
Yeah, that's really, really true about critical thinking. We don't teach our children. We don't teach anybody anything these days.
No. You know,
we don't teach our children history. We don't teach them civics. We don't teach them really good mathematics. You know, we barely teach them to read and write. We have I had someone on my show last week, and they were talking about in medical school how they've taken the core curriculum of medical school and dumbed it down so much that they don't even have really solid training in anatomy, physiology, and biochemistry. And they get, like, at the school where she was teaching, they get like 6 weeks of pharmacology, which still, that will kind of blow me away for the rest of my life. You know, when you're an MD, you know, I'm an osteopath. So a lot of what we learned was anatomy and physiology and functional anatomy to do osteopathic manipulation. But, you know, if you're an MD, an allopath, when you graduate from medical school, really the only tool you have in your toolbox is a prescription pad. And if you spent 6 weeks learning, like, the PDR is like this thick, there's thousands and thousands of drugs in there. And if you really don't understand the biochemistry and what the chemistry of that drug does to your physiology, and they're not teaching kids that these days, that's really scary to think about as we get older. Who are going to be the people that are going to take care of us if they don't know anything about the body? It's really scary. But a lot of people, you know, they're not teaching what they should in the seminary. They're really not teaching, you know, biblical texts. They're really not, they don't teach the kids about the business side of anything that they do, whether they're a doctor, lawyer, dentist, pastor, whatever it is. I mean, why do we send our school kids to this indoctrination place called school? Because, you know, we are in the time of year where kids are heading back to school. What sorts of things can parents do to put the armor of God on their kids as they send them off to school?
Right. I think the first thing is, don't send them to public school. And I know that's easy to say and more difficult to do. But just like we said earlier, I believe we're going to be held accountable to God for those kids. And, you know, I know, you know, Dr. Mike Spaulding, and we were talking about the 501c3 church, and he actually told me that in his church, they're starting a fund to help parents with cost of homeschooling their children. And I think that's a perfect example of what the church ought to be doing, is investing in their own kids in that way. I mean, that's a great program. And when he told me that, I thought, wow, you know, I'm looking for 501. I feel convicted now because I'm talking against the 501c3, and yet I'm giving to ministries that are 501c3. So I was telling him, you know, somebody like me, I think I would like to start giving to that fund just so that I know I'm giving back to the church in the proper way. So anyway, you're right. They're teaching everything, but they're teaching social justice. They're teaching this messed up transgender. You can be a boy if you're a girl, or a girl if you're a boy. And, you know, that whole thing, when I see the amount of clinics, that is a booming business. Because when I was doing research for the book in 2013, they only had 3 clinics. And then in 2019, it jumped up to 41. And when I last checked in October of 22, it was over 300. And I can only imagine what it is now. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And we're going to be held accountable for that. For sure.
Yes, we are. And I think that's I've had a lot of guests on. I do 6 different podcasts a week, and all the topics are different. And I've had a lot of guests on that in that movement. I've had guests that have written books about exposing the transgender movement. I've had Ollie London on, who was a man who went through 23 surgeries to become an Asian woman and then found the Lord and made his way back into being a man again. And now he speaks out so strongly about the demonic side of the transgender movement. And it's really, these kids are so disturbed on a spiritual and emotional level that they need counseling, not surgery. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we really are going to be held accountable for that. We really, really are. So with that thought, I want to have you just hold that thought for just a second. We're going to come back and talk more about that, because you talk about children and that in your book. So we are talking today with Angeline Marie. Angeline, and she is the host of a radio program called The Truth Seekers Radio Show. She's also author of the book called The Whole Armor of God. So we're talking about her book and her radio show, and there's more to come. So don't leave. We'll be right back. There are an awful lot of people that are affiliates for Mike Lindell, because we all really appreciate what he does for this country. We appreciate the hard work that he does, and we appreciate his products. He has more than 200 products in his store, everything from pillowcases and comforters to doggy beds and to wonderful slippers and bathrobes. There's something for everybody, and something for everybody in each age group. I mean, one of the things that I really like a lot are the pillowcases, the children's Bible story pillowcases, that I just think are such a great way when you tuck your child into bed at night to use these pillowcases, that they come from his store to start to tell the story about Adam and Eve and Noah and the Ark and different things. And they're colorful and they're really pretty. So from children all the way up to gentlemen that want to have like nice slippers, or to your dog, the doggy beds and things are just wonderful. So my pillow is a great place to shop for just about anything that you want. And if you use our affiliate code DRT, that helps us, that can benefit us, that helps Mike Lindell, and you'll get a great product for anybody that you're shopping for.
Well, welcome back, everyone. We've been having a really important discussion about the problems with the church these days, and particularly the 501(c)(3) parameters that were set up back in the 50s so that you could make tax-deductible contributions to your church, and then the church could be told exactly what they could say and not say, what they not get in politics, not get involved in anything, and instead of following what the Bible tells us to do, has to follow what the government tells us to do. So there are some, we were talking right before the break, Angeline, about the transgender movement, and you discuss a lot of that in your book. Why don't you bring forward a little bit more about what you say in your book about that?
Yeah, what I talk about in the book is how I believe in this. I'm not that smart, Dr. Tenpenny, but as I was writing, I just felt like, you know what? I think the eugenics movement was the precursor to the transgender. And then I think the transgender is the precursor to transhumanism. And you say, well, how do you get there? Well, eugenics was all about getting rid of who Margaret Sanger termed as the useless eaters or the weeds. those people in society that she thought were lesser than. And so they wanted to try to work on depopulation or have people from getting pregnant. And if they did, to take care of it. And I feel like the transgender movement, although eugenics was destroying people, if you think about the end game about depopulation, and then you look at transgender, well, when you're perverting the image of God that was made in the image of God, and you're perverting and twisting that, and you're making men women and women men, it comes out to the same outcome as eugenics, where you're not reproducing, aside from the part that you are destroying these kids' lives. That's the worst part of it. And then we're moving into this new age of, I talk a little bit about technocracy and transhumanism. And here again, we're manipulating and twisting the man that was made in the image of God by melding man and machine. And you know, when I was looking at all this and I was plotting all this out, I was looking at all the pillars, from education to even digital cash system, to healthcare, to technology, to media. And I thought, you know what? All of these boil down to John 10:10, where it says, you know, that the enemy is here really to steal, kill, and destroy. And so translate that. All of this boils down to one thing. He wants to steal our soul, our salvation. He wants to destroy man. I mean, to me, man is the apple of God's eye, and he's just, the devil is wanting to swoop in and keep as many people from salvation as he possibly can. And so to get back to your question, I think all of these things, from eugenics to transgender to transhumanism, I think they're all kind of moving us to the same end game, so to speak.
Well, you've done a lot of research and you've covered a lot of topics in your book. As you were digging through all of this research, what were some of the most shocking things that you discovered that you said, man, I knew it was bad, but I didn't know it was that bad?
Yeah, I think one of the ones, and people don't understand this, but it's because I really didn't know much about it, was China and how much a foothold they already had in the country. And so when I first had stumbled on this, actually back in 2013, by complete accident, I stumbled over a news article that talked about, I think it was in Ohio, in Toledo, where the mayor or whoever was going and making these trips to China, and they were trying to woo Chinese money to rehabilitate the area. And I started noticing, even in my local area, the local politicians were making all these trips to China. And I thought, what is this about? You know, because when I was in school, we heard Red China and the Chinese communists. And so I started reading more about China. And I had read a book by Dr. Stan Monteith, and he was talking about how the U.S. was actually the ones that went in the 50s, and we really muffled that whole thing up, because he said the Chinese nationals were winning and we purposely went in and we were taking weapons, and so that they would lose and the Chinese communists would take a foothold. And so that really was surprising to me, because, you know, and when I was in school, like I said, it was all about how terrible the communists are. And so then when you fast forward to now, and I'm doing this research about China, I couldn't believe all the things in our society that they had a foothold in, from telecommunications. And then we find out they're spying on us within our own country with these, you know, communist Chinese telecom companies. And then now they're buying farmland. And now we're hearing they have police stations in our country. They've infiltrated all the colleges, and I think what they're doing is they're slowly trying to get us used to the Chinese way. I mean, honestly, I believe probably China made a deal with the politicians, and they probably already own us. And I think the only people that don't know, and I say this in the book, are the American people. And so that was something that was really shocking, that I thought I saw glimpses of it, but I didn't realize the extent till I started researching.
Well, you know, you and I speaking here aren't 501c3s, so we can talk about whatever we want to talk about.
Right.
And the upcoming political landscape is just, you know, I think I heard a couple of days ago, we're only something like 65 days away from the election. I mean, this summer has just absolutely flown by. I can't believe it's almost Labor Day. Seems as though we were just talking about Memorial Day, and now the kids are going back to school. I hear that on the radio, that kids are going back to school already. So we've got this looming political thing that's going on, and with this, with a vice president, a current vice president who has absconded with the election without anybody voting on it, without anybody saying yay, nay, or anything, just taken it and said, okay, I'm going to run and be the candidate without any opposition. I mean, where are the other Democratic candidates that would be candidates that would show up at the Democratic National Convention and possibly be voted into that position? There's nobody doing any resistance to that. And then her vice president pick, the governor of Minnesota, is probably one of the more evil far left guys I think I've ever read anything about in the last few years. How do you think if Trump doesn't prevail, and Trump has his problems, he's not, you know, I'm really a Trump supporter for a lot of good reasons, but I'm also a Trump critic for a lot of good reasons. He's, you know, I say to a lot of people that are like never Trumpers or I can't stand Trump or whatever, I say, okay, who are you going to vote for? I mean, where is the candidate? You know, Bobby Kennedy has really good qualities, but he's a Kennedy, and I don't really like his environmental policies. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that he's got enough horsepower behind him to be a valid horse in the race, sadly, because I think he'd do a good job as a president. So where is this going to be, and how do we get the church activated and have the church members put on the full armor of God for what's coming?
Yeah. That's a good question. As far as I, first of all, the media just completely flipped. They were so negative on Kamala, and now she's the greatest thing ever. They're definitely repackaging her right now. The VP pick is the one thing they're always talking about that they don't like are crusty old white guys, and that's the guy that they pick, which that makes no sense to me. So I'm wondering, I always, when I see things like that, I say, okay, I wonder what's really behind that. But you're right. I mean, I honestly think the fix is in. I think they already know who's going to win. I think there's going to be so much cheating. I'll tell you, I'll be honest. It's now voting time. And I went, and I feel like, does my vote even really count? Is all this theater? And that's kind of the mindset I've had. I'm getting so cynical about all that stuff. But you know what? I think what we need to do is the church. This is all that physical minutia going on in the physical realm, trying to take our attention off what we really should be having our attention on. And that is always looking up to the Lord, praying, getting in the word, because that's really what I think is going to, it's not going to be Trump that's going to save us. It's not anything in the physical. And so I think we need to take that cue now, and we need to start getting ready and get in the word more and be more concerned about the spiritual realm rather than this physical realm, because we really know how it ends. We know how Revelation, we know how the book ends, and we know it's going to be worse than it is now. And so what hope does that leave us? Our hope in Jesus Christ. I think that's the only thing we have. And so I'm not saying don't vote and don't, you know, if you feel like you need to be an activist in one area or in your local politics, you know, if you feel led, because we're all put here for this time, right? We all have something that the Lord has us here for to do. I doubt it's to watch football and drink beer and, but you got to find what that thing is. And, you know, I say this all the time. It doesn't even have to be anything big. It can be educating yourselves on these topics and then use them to speak to your neighbor and share the information with them, because you'd be surprised how many people don't know a lot of this stuff that's going on. they don't see the spiritual war that's going on between the spiritual and the physical. They look at, oh, it's right versus left. It's this group versus that group. And so I think people, even people that aren't believers right now, they know in their inside that something is just not right. Why is all this craziness and chaos going on? This is a perfect time to start talking to people. And kind of when I wrote the book, I kind of wanted to hit on things that are going on in the world, because that would be something that somebody might, who's not necessarily spiritual, but they would read on, oh, this is interesting. And but then it leads, because at the end, I always talk about how everything goes back to a really a spiritual thing, although it's in the physical. And so I think there's an opportunity here, but we have to be ready. And so I think that's prayer, that's, you know, learning the word and just staying as close to the Lord as you can right now, because that's really what it's going to boil down to in the end days.
You know, I have a really good friend who's in the publishing industry, and I was having a conversation with her just yesterday, and she said that Christian books and spiritual books are flying off the shelf, that they're just really, you know, people are really understanding, like what you said, there's something not right, and maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to them in that still small voice and getting their attention, while we've got this blatant nonsense going on, like the opening thing of the Olympics, mm-hmm. the closing thing of the Olympics, all the stuff that went on in the middle, like that boxing stuff and everything. I mean, that people, I think most thinking people have just had enough. And so even if they've had enough and they don't kind of know where to look, so they're like, well, maybe there's something to that God thing. Maybe I ought to take a look at that.
Right.
And so it's a time for a great revival and a great awakening. And I think that your book is going to be positioned just right to be able to wake people up and get the armor of God on them. Mm-hmm. What are you doing to talk to like various church groups to get this message out there?
You know, right now I've just been doing interviews, and it's funny you would bring that up, because I have been thinking more about maybe trying to connect with churches. I'm not known as a speaker though, so it's all a matter of connection and can I get in? But that's been on my heart more and more, is to go into churches and actually talk about this stuff. And it's funny that you would bring that up, because I've actually been thinking about that. I guess I just have to get with somebody that knows how to get people into situations like that, because this is my first book. I'm kind of new at this whole thing, and so I'm handling a lot of this stuff myself right now.
Well, there's a lot of good publishers out there. Mike Spaulding is just a wealth of information. Mike and I have been friends for probably 4 years now, and he makes a lot of suggestions for us for our happy hour show. And I just spoke mm-hmm. again at the Go Therefore conference in Dayton a couple weeks ago. I think it was last month. That's, I think, the third time I've spoken down there. And the people that are there are voluminous writers. In fact, I say to Mike all the time, who's written something like 27 books, it's like, how did you do this? I struggle to get one done. I mean, how do you do this? So he probably has some good suggestions for you, and some of the other speakers that are there that mm-hmm. That are speakers and they're also writers. You're tapped into a, you know, a top source right there at a good friend of yours with Mike Spaulding.
Yeah.
So we're closing down on our time here today, what is your take-home message for your book? What would you like your listeners to, after they've read it, to be able to say to others and to share the message? What would you like them to, what would be your takeaways from your book?
Well, you know, the Lord named this book, and it's called Soulless Society, The Ultimate Deception That Took the Land of Plenty to a Nation of Death. And I think it's obvious it's a soulless society right now, but that subtitle, The Ultimate Deception. So what is that ultimate deception? And I think it is that we are fighting a spiritual battle in the physical realm, and we need to get ready, because we need to approach it from a spiritual place and not a physical place if we're going to win. And we know in the end we win through Jesus Christ, but also, I think we need to be ready. You know, I was talking about the stealing of the soul. I think it's so important that we as the church are ready so that we can help people that maybe don't have a spiritual base. And so I talked all the pillars and all the negativity. So that's why in the last chapter, I wanted to wrap it up with some hope. And I brought it back to the spiritual, just like I do in the radio show. And so that's when I introduce the armor of God. And like you said, we go on each piece and I talk more in depth about that. But I wanted to give people hope at the end that it's through the blood, shed blood of Jesus Christ, that we can be free. And we're gonna make it through this, but we have to keep our eyes on what's important. We can't be distracted. All this stuff is the devil's distractions down here. We need to stay focused in our Lord Jesus Christ. And like I say in the book, putting on the armor of God, being ready. And just, you know, when you get to that place, it's easier then to help the lost and be ready when somebody asks a question, to be ready with an answer that could ultimately really save their soul and their life.
Do you have eternity. Do you have your copy of your book there? Because I think I didn't have the correct name down for your book. So if you've got a copy of it that you'd like to show our listeners and then tell them what the title of the book is, do you have it handy?
If I think.
There we go. What? Yes.
It's the Statue of Liberty, and she looks so grief-stricken. She's on the ground with a tattered flag in front of her. And when I saw that image of that woman, I thought, man, that's exactly how I feel right now. I couldn't.
And what's the title again, so that everybody has
Soulless Society, the ultimate deception that took the land of plenty. We were the land of plenty. We had everything, but now to a nation of death.
Wow.
Death and destruction. And I actually have a page for the book. If you go to soullesssocietybook.com, you can buy the book there. You can find out about the book at soullesssocietybook.com, and all the proceeds are going to a nonprofit that was started by Russ Dizdar called shatterops.org, and they rescue and rehabilitate traffic victims. So all the money from the book will go to that organization.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's a really beautiful thing to do. And yeah, and he's got I've been told that he has a really good organization, that it really does do what it says it's going to do. A lot of nonprofits don't. They mm-hmm. take all of your money and have a good web page, but that's about as far as their mission goes. So what words of wisdom would you like to leave with our listeners here today, Angeline?
I just take heart. I know it's hard. It's hard. You know, all we can do is take it day by day. And like I said, I've said it over and over. We just can't lose sight of what's important. And I know that sounds like the same old, but it's really, the truth is that simple. It really is that simple. And I think we need to bring more truth to the world right now, because I mean, I'm even starting to question if the American history we were taught is even true anymore. I'm questioning everything. I find myself getting so cynical in every way anymore. And maybe that's what they want. Maybe they want us to stop trusting each other in these days. You know, that could be part of their plan. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Well, you know, Dr. Lee Merritt is a good friend of mine, and she's one of the five docs when we get together, you know, once a month and have a little podcast. And she told me just today that her mission is to unwind everything that we've thought was the truth, everything that we've told. And I told her, I said, you know, that's an honorable thing for you to do, but I can't quite go there. I'm not willing to completely shatter my world on everything that I've kind of believed in for the last 50 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trusting the Lord that will take me to a better place of just trusting the word of God.
Absolutely.
and trusting in your prayer time, and trusting that, you know, that's a contract with him, and he is going to do what he says he's going to do, even though it may not be on your timeline. You know, your timeline may be really different.
The truth is the truth. Definitely.
The truth is the truth. Yeah. And so the soullesssocietybook.com is where they is your website, soullesssocietybook.com. Mm-hmm. And the truthseekersradioshow.com is where they can find your radio show.
Yes.
And I think this has just been, and you've also got a Rumble channel that's rumble.com. It's Truth Seekers Radio, where you can post your shows and you can listen up there. Yeah. Right. So as we close out tonight, would you like to close our session with a word of prayer?
Yes.
Okay.
Dear Father in heaven, you say where two or more gathered in your midst, you will be there with them. I just pray, Father, that you would bless all those people listening tonight, that you would give them discernment, encouragement, protection, that you would give them hope they know they have through the blood of Jesus. We're just so grateful for that and for all the blessings, even the little things every day, Father. We're just so grateful for that. And sometimes we miss those things. Also, I pray that you would help us to stay clothed in the armor of God, to stave away the fiery darts of the evil one. I pray for all the Christians and all the people of the world, international and national. I pray for the lost, Father, that you would bring them to somebody who could share the truth and the freedom and the salvation through the shed blood of Christ. That is so important in these days. And we pray for our government leaders to do the right thing. And we pray, Father, most of all, that the church would start standing up and doing the right thing. So we just pray that you would lay out and reveal your plan for our life, the steps you would have us to take daily to help each other as we go through these rough times, Father. But again, we know we can't do anything without the shed blood of Christ. And we're just so grateful. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And that was beautiful. And that's really super true that we can't really do anything without the protection of the Lord. So I want to encourage everybody to go to soullesssocietybook.com. Hold that book up again so people can see it. I love that cover. It's really super good. So go to soullesssocietybook.com. You can read more about it. You can order the book there. You can follow her radio show at truthseekersradioshow.com. And we're going to have a great following for you. And I hope that you can get with Mike and the other speakers that are there and to get this information out to the churches. You know, you start local and then you build bigger from there.
Thank you so much,
Angela and Marie, for coming down my show tonight. I really appreciate your presence. I appreciate your book. I appreciate your work. And thank you so much for being here.
I want to thank all of our
listeners who come and join us here every Tuesday night for Happy Hour with Dr. T. And I want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I close all my shows with, whether they are live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12:12. Be patient and rejoice in hope. Be patient in trouble and be persistent in prayer. So until we meet again on the next broadcast, stay strong, lean into God, trust him for everything. Thursday night is Happy Hour with Dr. T Solo. And in September, we are starting a whole Thursday night series with Dr. Judd Burton on the books of Enoch. And he's a PhD in history and he's a Bible historian. He's bring an incredible wealth of information for people that have questions about the book of Enoch. So for that, I want to thank everybody for being here. Angela, thank you so much for joining me. I so appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much. God bless.
And for everyone else, good night and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body's vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.